Well, 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 Wednesday, 5 p.m., time for American Net Radio. 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD is the station that you're tuned into. Unless you're hearing us through some other manner of hearing the station, but either way, you got to tune into the station, right? And we are here every Wednesday and Friday at 5 p.m. I'm Tom Ryan, and Heidi Morales Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host, of course, here as well.
I live in here.
On Wednesdays and Friday afternoons, you do. As do I. Now, we've been working our way through quite an intensive list of albums for a specific reason. It started a while back when my son made a list of like his favorite albums or songs. And a lot of it was like either old, pretty old contemporary stuff. And he liked a lot of other more, you know, stuff that was, I guess, I don't know, different. And I thought, I was impressed that he had done it. And I said, you know, I would like to do the same sort of a thing. Maybe I'll do an albums list, because I was concerned that albums were becoming obsolete about 10 years ago when we started this whole ordeal. And it really was the case. I saw that digital was taking over people. And I'm not just talking about the vinyl album. I'm talking about the idea of an artist compiling songs in a group that he would call an album release, whether it's a vinyl release or a CD release or even a digital release. That's okay too, but people don't even really buy albums as digital releases as much anymore, because they're relying too much on all of the different services that will give them playlists and such. And I felt that that's a bad thing, because you're relying on these companies to pretty much determine your taste. They get a good idea, and now with AI, it gets to be totally out of control about how they think that if you like this, then you automatically have to like this thing, and then if you like that, then they can compile your entire life for you almost. And I'd like to be responsible for that on my own, thank you very much. That's, you know, I've got a very broad taste for music. And if you're going to like focus in on just one or two of the things that I tend to like, then you're taking away really the joy of what music is about, the whole idea of it being so diverse and picking up on something that you didn't know and finding out that you really love it is really one of the best things that you could possibly, you know, have happen to you with music. Discovery is fantastic. And you're not going to really be discovering much if you're dealing with services. So that's what this is all about. And we've been doing it with two lists. We have the top 500 of the top 40 to keep me straight, you know, we're at least playing enough stuff that is contemporary and popular. And the other list is the alternative top 40, which is not necessarily, it could be anything, really. It doesn't have to be a popular album at all. I didn't want to do that exclusively, because I'd be, you know, although I did at first, like I said, I started with my son and his idea. I said, well, he was talking about alternative music. I could do that. But after we did about, I don't know, the first few months, I was like saying, yeah, we ought to like compile a list of popular albums as well. So we put it all together and we ended up with 500 in each group. That's 1,000 albums. And now that we're 10 years in, we're well past the halfway mark on the top 500 of the top 40. The alternative, we still got a ways to go. But now that we're in the late 70s, that's going to catch up pretty quick, because we're going to have the punk movement came in and almost none of the punk albums made the top 40. So that's where we're going to start seeing significant changes. That and the new wave albums as well. They just never really were marketed properly. Well, obviously, there was still a whole bunch of great albums. So that's where we're headed. But where we're at now is an album that was released in June of 1977. It peaked at number 20, thus it's on the top 500 of the top 40. And this is album number 274 in that chronological order. So we've done 274 top 40 albums since we started this list. That's pretty nuts. This album was released in June of 1977. The artist is Bob Marley and the Wailers. And the album is called Exodus. Now, this is a pretty special album. I mean, we're 12 years into his career as a reggae artist in 1977. Bob Marley released his first album, although it was only released in Jamaica, back in 1965. And he had a formidable catalog of songs and albums, as you would know, because we've covered at least two of them so far, if not three. I'm not sure if this is the third or the fourth that's on our list, but it's one of those. And with the album Exodus, he reaches a peak that pretty much overwhelms just about everything else that he had done up until this point. Exodus is a very straightforward and plain-spoken album with a variety of songs that are more or less laid out thematically. Side one covers Bob Marley's religious and political views, and it also represents mostly the darker side of his songwriting, while side two is a call to love and unity. There's a lot more positivity on side two. So taken together, these themes cover a lot of ground, portraying Marley as a very serious thinker with an instinctive talent for catchy melodies. Now, in 1976, December 3rd, to be exact, 1976, Bob Marley was the victim of an assassination attempt. He was shot, and his wife, Rita, was shot as well. So they'd broken into his home. The idea was to kill him. They were both grazed by bullets. Both survived. But it set Bob Marley, I'm sure, on a train of thought about what is wrong with politics. What is wrong with somebody who would want to kill a singer, not even the politician, but killing Bob Marley for some reason just seems absolutely absurd, right? So side one, I think, is more or less his message to people about his religious ideas and his political ideas in a sense. But a lot of it is a lot of him doing a lot of self-review as well. But we'll get to that as we go through it. The first track that opens the album is a song called Natural Mystic. It's, as I said, it was the producer on this album is none other than Lee Scratch Perry, one of the more crazy but innovative musicians that ever came out of Jamaica. And he said that when they made this track, they basically did the whole thing with just a drum machine. And then he added like a pop drum, which is what gave the song a popping sound. And then he was working with it. Eventually, he even put on a horn section. But Bob did a lot of the production with him. And so this is the way that the final track ended up. It's got a fade in. And, well, the lyrics speak for themselves. It's called Natural Mystic. Thank you. Just got a call from a longtime listener, a sometime caller, a friend of ours for the show, Frank. And he asked me, what does Bob Marley and Sinead O'Connor have in common? And I'm like, what? I thought it was like a setup for a joke. And then he had pointed out, he goes, when she was on Saturday Night Live and she ripped up that picture of the Pope, she had sang the song War by Bob Marley before leaving the stage. And that made me remember when I went to the Bob Dylan tribute at Madison Square Garden. She was one of the artists there as well. And this was soon after she had done that. And a lot of the audience were not pleased with what had happened. So they started to, like, you know, boo at her and everything. I thought she had the right to be there, and I thought she had the right to do exactly whatever she wanted to do. But I could understand somebody being offended by her ripping a picture of the Pope also. So it was like, if you're going to do that, you have to expect that to happen to you. But she stood there almost like she was frozen, like a deer in the headlights. And then instead of singing the song that whatever she was supposed to sing, I don't know, but she just launched again right into the Bob Marley song War and then ran off the stage. And that was that. She was the only person who did not sing a Bob Dylan song at the Bob Dylan anniversary show, and instead decided to sing a Bob Marley song. And that song, War, would have fit very well on the album Exodus, theme-wise. But it's, alas, not on this specific album. But you're going to see that there's a lot of songs that have something similar to that on this. Now, the song we just heard, Natural Mystic, has become a signature song for Marley, and a lot of the critics just like rave about it. Grell Marcus, who's one of the more popular music critics of the past 20 years, said it was the best song on the album. And a lot of other people said that's one of the, that although the lyrics are vague, they're no less effective than Dylan's Blowin' in the Wind. So there's the Dylan connection, just to put all that together. All right, next track on the album, like I said, this being like the personal side, or the Bob Marley like looking inside of himself for both his political and his religious thoughts, this is called So Much Things to Say.
They got so much things to say right now. They got so much things to say.
Hey, but I'll never forget, no way. They crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget, no way. They sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget, no way. They turned their backs on Paul Bogle. Hey, hey, so don't you forget who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got so much things to say. Come to fight flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in I and no place. So while they fight you down, stand firm and give Jah thanks and praises. Cause I and I do expect to be justified by the laws of men. By the laws of men. Oh, you may find me guilty, but prove, truth shall prove my innocence. Remember that when the rain falls, it won't fall on one man's house. Stop it singing. So very much, so very much, so much, so very much. They got so much things to say right now. Yeah, they got so much things to say. Hey, but I and I have come to fight flesh and blood. Spiritual wickedness in I and no places. So why they fight you? Don't stand firm and give your thanks
and praises. I and I don't expect to be justified by the laws of men. By the laws of men, a true God to prove my innocence. I don't do wicked things, they found me guilty. They got
so
they lumbering all the time. So much things to say. Rumor about they got the rumor without humor. They don't know what they're doing, yeah.
Ooh. What happened there? It just ended like that? I don't know what happened there. I'm sorry about that. I think that might have gotten cut.
That's the end of the track.
No, it was too poor. I was way too sharp. I think something got cut.
I don't know, but that was how the timer said it ended.
Well, it's all right. I mean, fine. We got in 3 minutes and 8 seconds of it. Now, what's happening is, you know, a lot of times when you're listening to reggae music, it's very light music. It's vacation music. It's like everybody thinks of like, oh, I'm, you know, drinking a beer, sitting on the beach and chilling out, listening to reggae. And Bob Marley really does not abide by that at all. It's not the way that his earlier albums were. And by the time this album comes along, there's a dead seriousness about what it is that he's trying to portray. You could ignore the lyrics if you choose to. That's fine. And you can just groove to it and just, you know, basically think of it as summer music. But for Bob Marley, this is a way for him to basically express exactly what's going on with the religiosity. Here he starts, of course, talking about, you know, religious ideas, not just his own, not just Rastafarianism, but others. And basically trying to basically convey a message about it. I think it's pretty awesome that he is able to do it. Now, the next track, though, we get a little bit heavier as we go deeper. This next song is called Guiltiness. So I think the title itself more or less explains that.
Big fish, who always
And I was going to bring up, and I will bring up, the band members and the people who were, you know, performing on this album with Bob Marley. And as I'm looking at it, I just had a memory that I had seen Bob Marley perform right around the time of this album's release, maybe a year later. It was in the late 70s. There was a really big nightclub that was on the other side of the river outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the Jersey side. And somehow I had managed to get tickets to go see Bob Marley and the Wailers there. I don't remember how. There must have been an awful lot of marijuana smoke in the building, too, because I remember almost nothing about it. I just remember that the band was really, there was a big band. And I think that it's probably the exact same personnel that are recording on this album. First of all, he has three backing singers, three women, all of them great artists in their own right who had released albums of their own. That would be Judy Mowat, Marcia Griffiths, and his wife, Rita Marley. He brought in an extra percussionist with a drummer whose name was Alvin Seco Patterson. And of course, Carlton Barrett is on drums, and his brother, Aston Family Man Barrett, played bass. And he had a pianist, you know, played the keyboard player, basically, who did synthesizer, piano, and all of that. His name was Tyrone Downey. And the guitar player is Junior Marvin. Now, that's not Junior Mervin, the guy who wrote Roots Train, or Police and Thieves, the song that is covered by The Clash. That's a different guy named Junior Mervin. Just a funny coincidence that his name happens to be Junior Marvin. And then, of course, Bob Marley, the front man, playing guitar with and doing all the lead vocals and, of course, the songwriting. So that's a band. It's a pretty big band. And they were great, as I remember it. That was a long time ago. And it probably has been out of my mind for over a decade. And it just popped in as I was about to like, I'm looking at the names. I'm like, oh, I saw them. How strange. All right. Side one continues in its heaviness, in a sense, with this track called The Heathen.
Again, is he who fight and run away, live to fight another day. Put the heathen back there on the wall. Put the heathen back here on the wall. Put the heathen back there on the wall. Put the heathen back here on the wall. As a man, so shall he reap, and I know that talk is cheap. The battle, and the sweeter the victory. Put the heathen back there on the wall. Put the heathen back here 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 on the wall.
You like the album up until this point. This is where I think it gets crazy here now, because we've got six songs to go. Five out of the six songs that are remaining were hits for Bob Marley. So that's every song but one that you're going to hear from this point out is a hit song to some extent. And the first one up is going to be the title track. Now, it was December 3rd when the assassination attempt on Bob Marley's life happened at his house, where both he and his wife were shot. Now, this was all due to the fact that there was a campaign for re-election. I remember Michael Manley was the prime minister, and that he was up for re-election. And his slogan was, "We know where we're going." Now, after Bob Marley got shot, he knew where he was going. He was getting the hell out of Jamaica. That's what he was going to do, because he felt that he was basically a victim or a target, really, for the whole political thing that was going down. So he went to England, and that's where he recorded the title song for this album. He came up with the idea Exodus in his head. He didn't even have a song. He just said, "I'm going to name this album Exodus." And maybe it was that whole thing about knowing where we're going, because the whole idea of Exodus, of course, he'll talk about Moses and, you know, getting the Israelites out of Egypt and that stuff. But as he adds in his own lyrics of the song, "We know where we're going. We know where we're from. We're leaving Babylon." So that's the idea behind this. Here's Exodus.
Tribulation, great tribulation.
That's the spirit of the album right there. All right, now we flip over to side two, which is pretty much the hit side. Four out of the five songs were hit singles, starting with the song Jammin', which is another way of saying hanging out in Rastafari, and Waiting in Vain, which, by the way, there's a nice Annie Lennox cover of that song as well, though she also had a minor hit with it. So we'll play them back to back, Jamming and Waiting in Vain.
We're jamming, jamming, and I hope you like jamming too. And the rules ain't no vow, we can do it anyhow. I and I will see you through, 'cause every day we pay the price. We're the living sacrifice, we jamming till the jam is through. We're jamming. To think that jamming was a thing of the past. We're jamming, and I hope this jam is gonna last. No bullet to stop us now, we need to beg, no we won't bow. Neither can be bought nor sold. We all defend the right, Jaja children must unite. Oh, life is worth much more than gold. We're jamming,
jamming.
We're jamming,
jamming, jamming,
look out, jamming. We're jamming right straight from your sing. Holy Mount Zion, holy Mount Zion, just seated in Mount Zion, it rules all creation. Here we're jamming, fuck to our war, we're jamming. I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming,
jamming, jamming, jamming.
And jam down, hope you're jamming too. Jam knows a magic try, the truth again and high, to keep you satisfied. True love I now exist is the love I can't resist. So jam by my side. We're jamming,
jamming.
I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming, 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 we're jamming. Hope you like jamming too. We're jamming, we're jamming,
jamming,
we're jamming, we're jamming,
jamming.
Treat me like a puppet on a string, 'cause I know I
As you get into it, you begin to realize why I say this is perhaps Bob Marley's best album. Now, as I mentioned, there's a really nice version of that song recorded by Annie Lennox. But this next song is the only song on side two that was not a hit at its time. But this is a very odd coincidence. Although it was not a hit single in this version that we're going to be playing now, in 1999, there was a version that was released where they... Lauryn Hill added a vocal to the mix, and that went to number one in the UK. So this song also technically was a big hit, a number one hit at that, once Lauryn Hill got dubbed onto it. But here it is in its original form. It's called Turn Your Lights Down Low.
Turn your lights down low. And pull your window curtains. Oh, let your moon come shining in into our life again. Saying, ooh, it's been a
some love, good love,
I want to give you some good, good love.
get my love contumbling in into our life again, saying, ooh, I love you, and I want you to know right now, ooh, I love you.
Yeah, this is the love song side, as you can tell. Turn your lights down low. Now, I mentioned that that was a hit with Lauryn Hill. The next two tracks are also huge hits. The next song is my personal favorite Bob Marley song. I think it's a lot of people's favorite Bob Marley songs. It's called Three Little Birds, and it's just, again, it's a beautiful song about peace and finding happiness in the world. And there's not enough songs like that. So it's a beautiful song. And then we end with a song called One Love, People Get Ready. Now, what's interesting about that is the song One Love was actually, I mentioned that Bob Marley's career started in 1965. Well, this song was on that first album, The Wailin' Wailers, in 1965, had the song One Love on it. So this is Bob Marley 12 years later recording it again. Only this time he adds People Get Ready, because he does reference that song. So they figured, okay, for the sake of not having to worry about Curtis Mayfield saying something, they decided to give him songwriting credit. So the song is now entitled One Love, People Get Ready. So there you have it. We'll go out with Three Little Birds and then One Love, People Get Ready. Thanks very much for listening. And by the way, check out our website, AmericanNetNetwork.com is the name. But if you look for American Net Radio, you'll find it. There's about 550 albums with information all just sitting there waiting for you. So check it all out. All right. Thanks, folks. See you next week or join us on Friday. See you then.
saying, let's get together and feel alright. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let them all pass all their dirty remarks.
One love.
There is one question I'd really love to ask.
One heart.
Is there a place for the hopeless sinners who has hurt all mankind? Just a savior's own belief.
One love.
Fight is holy, I'm a Gideon.
One love.
So when the man comes, there will be no doom.
One song.
Have pity on those whose chances grow thin. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Yeah, yeah.